take a look at our website, rte.ie/Mooney.
You can send a text message about anything at all to 51551 or visit the website rte.ie/Mooney. Now, the global call to clean our oceans continues to gather momentum, and it is one which we have explored on this programme many times in the past, like our Bergen Whale documentary, which looked at how a Cuvier's beaked whale washed up in Norway with a huge number of plastic bags in its stomach. Here, Helge Sufteland, a producer with NRK, the Norwegian national broadcaster, recounts the whale's final hour.
It came here and it came into a small little beach just outside Bergen, and very publicly was put down with a rifle in front of a lot of people. And as soon as we opened it, we saw that we had murdered it with plastic. It was so full in its stomach that it had just choked on plastic. And there's no way around this. We killed this poor creature. Magnificent sea creature that should be there to sort of remind us of the excellence of nature, and now had to be put down, go outside an oil refinery, funnily enough. This, of course, caused an outcry, not only in Norway, but in the world, as the media attention would show later.
That clip offered a stark reminder of the importance of protecting our seas. Next Tuesday, June 8th, is World Oceans Day, and NUI Galway have outlined a range of steps we can take to protect the largest connected ecosystem on Earth, and where they can enhance our overall well-being, including how healthcare professionals could consider blue prescriptions. That's nature-based interventions in, on, or near water. To tell us more about it, we're joined now by Dr. Eske Britton, co-author of the paper and a member of the Whitaker Institute at NUI Galway. She's currently based in Westport in County Mayo, from where she joins us now. Hello, Eske. Tell us more about your work, please.
Yeah, thanks very much. I'm one of the authors in a recent paper and part of the SOFI research project, which stands for Seas, Oceans and Public Health in Europe. And the paper kind of calls on the UN Ocean Decade to act as a meaningful catalyst for global change, and reminding people of the critical, important link between the health of our ocean and human health.
What's wrong with our oceans?
Where to start? I think kind of at the core of my work as a marine social scientist is about understanding people first, and our relationship with the ocean, because that's really kind of the root of the cause. And what I'm really most interested in is understanding how much the ocean kind of supports our health and well-being, how much we can benefit from healthy seas, and then also the impact when it's not cared for and we don't protect it. And I think like right now with climate action on the rise, which is fantastic, it's just really important to remember that ocean action is also climate action, because the ocean acts as our life support system. And unfortunately, it's not in great shapes.
Are you saying we've neglected our oceans?
Yeah, I mean, big time. The ocean plays such a critical role. It's buffering us from the worst effects of climate change, absorbing most of the excess heat, a lot of the carbon dioxide, and that's having knock-on consequences, not to mention just the increasing levels of pollution. So kind of everything we use and consume in our day-to-day lives, all the waste products from that end up ultimately in our waterways and in the ocean. So it's accumulating a lot of, well, a lot of our waste. And then also the impact on how we fish. And I think a lot of it is to do with a disconnect, the ocean feeling kind of out of mind, out of sight for so many people. And what I'm excited about is that there seems to be a shift in a movement, in particular in Ireland, of people really reconnecting with the ocean, our seas and coasts, and in particular recognizing just how important it is for our health and well-being, even as a place to go for respite, solace, to soothe our very frayed nervous systems.
I'm surprised you say there's a disconnect between Irish people and the ocean, given that we're not landlocked here. We're surrounded by water.
Well, you would think so, because we've one of the largest, most biodiverse maritime territories. We're definitely more blue than green, I like to think, in terms of the water and ocean space we have. But unfortunately, we're also really lagging behind in global targets for things like ocean conservation, in particular the 30 by 30, which is to protect 30% of our global oceans by 2030. And in Ireland, in terms of protected areas, we kind of come in around 2 or 3% at the moment. And and no area is sort of fully protected. So we've got a lot of kind of catching up to do, but there's, I mean, a huge opportunity there to engage people in this really meaningful participation around a vision for healthy seas and oceans in Ireland. And so currently there's a public consultation on a new marine protected area bill. So I definitely invite anyone listening who's interested to really have your say. I know the Irish Wildlife Trust have great resources on how to do that. And there's a narrative that's changing definitely in the likes of, we've got the Oceans of Learning podcast that the Marine Institute have just put out. So again, they're celebrating these stories of the sea and our human connection to it.
Richard.
Iski, I always think that the sea, after all, is our cradle of life. That's where we come from. And in fact, in a way, we are semi-marine species, it always seems to me. Now, Derek mentioned that Ireland should be a great maritime nation, but the record isn't really great. If you look northwards to Norway, look at the enormous fleets of ships that Norwegians have. Go south to Portugal, where Henry the Navigator had his school, and the Spanish. These countries are great maritime countries, but the Irish, oddly enough, have been very shy about the sea. The sociology of Ireland and the sea, it seems to me, is very interesting. Why are we so bad when it comes to the marine?
Yeah, it's the ultimate question, isn't it? I think in Ireland, it is surprising as an island nation that we don't have as deep a connection in some ways. But then I also think when we think about things like the environment, environmental protection, the world over, we're still very land-centric. We tend to just think from a land-based perspective. And I think in Ireland, it wasn't perhaps always the case that we weren't as, you know, that we were as disconnected as we are now, perhaps. And so I think it's really, it is changing. And as you rightly say, there's that, you know, there's that deep emotional cultural connection, and also the fact that we are ocean. You know, our bodies are something like 60% salt water. Every second breath we take is coming from oxygen produced from the ocean. So there are, you know, lots of ways to kind of tap into that connection. For us in Ireland in particular, and also globally, it's not just I think when we talk about the ocean, it isn't just a marine issue for marine experts and marine sectors. And it's just as much about how we want to thrive as a community, because the ocean in some way or form touches every part of our life. And it's about what matters most for our health. And I think taking pride in our maritime identity and celebrating how much the ocean does for us would be a really great place to start. And I think this week is going to be a fantastic opportunity for that, with World Oceans Day on June 8th. And, you know, even in the last handful of years, I'm seeing so many more events in Ireland celebrating our connection to the sea again.
You were a very brave lady to take up arms against a sea of troubles, as Hamlet said, because the sea of troubles is enormous. The range of problems facing the sea is gigantic. Everything from the rise in temperatures and deoxygenation, acidification, algal blooms, overfishing, noise upsetting species. Are you going to wage war on all fronts, or do you recommend choosing one or two more attainable objectives? Are there more attainable objectives that you can choose? Or is there a salient central problem which should be addressed, leaving all others aside?
Yeah, the short answer is there are so many things you can do. I think at the core of it for me in my work is about how do we create a culture of care? So the sense of reciprocity, if we understand how much the ocean does for us and then feel empowered to do things in return for it. So I think it starts there. And for example, there's loads of ways and examples of like things to do for the sea in my new book called 50 Things to Do by the Sea. But it really gets at that more, how to engage in a more mindful way. And then there are other examples of just amazing initiatives happening. So in Ireland, too, there's also a shift towards recognizing the healing benefits of the sea through things like ocean therapy. So I'm seeing more and more of these kind of organizations and charities, especially around mental health, set up, because blue spaces especially seas and coasts, are the most psychologically restorative of all environments for humans. And we've got really strong evidence to support that. And I think it's essential at this time, you know, of heightened psychological distress and trauma. And so we're seeing things like liquid therapy based in Donegal, working with youth as a way to kind of build confidence and connection to their own well-being through the sea. And also InclusSea is a European research project I'm a part of that's all about restoring the ocean as a healing and inclusive space for everyone. So it focuses on fostering best practices that promote greater accessibility and inclusion in surfing for people with physical disabilities. So that's a big part of my work as well. And then in terms of individual actions, there are really ways to kind of have your say now. So I mentioned the 30 by 30 petition. It's a global petition. We're seeking 1 million signatures to be delivered to the UN later this year. And then, you know, also getting involved. There's so many amazing ocean NGOs here in Ireland who also do a lot of amazing citizen science initiatives. So you can contribute to helping to better understand what's happening in our ocean. And then if you have a business, it'd be also amazing if you could do something like an ocean impact audit. So how is your business impacting or contributing to ocean health? That might seem like a strange thing to think about, but basically it means looking at things like, how are you managing your waste? Are you moving towards zero plastics? Because we know like plastic pollution is such a huge issue as well for the health of our ocean. And also, what's your carbon footprint? Because the ocean is so impacted by climate change, but it's also a key part of the solution. And there's a huge opportunities, I think, again, going back to creating that connection, things like team building through doing and things like beach cleans and those citizen science initiatives.
You mentioned liquid therapy. Where is that taking place? And I know you're also a fan of health professionals writing more blue prescriptions.
They run their program actually in my local beach where I learned to surf, Rosnaila. And yeah, we're working at the moment in that larger project, InclusSea. They've programs running throughout the summer. The main program is called A Drop in the Ocean. So it just taps into all these ways to connect with the ocean to restore a sense of health and well-being through something like surfing. So it's just a wonderful way to engage with the ocean in a very positive way. Yeah, so my area of work for the last number of years has been looking at the restorative benefits of these kind of, I suppose, what's called social prescribing or nature prescribing. So activities that engage people in the outdoors for the benefit of health and well-being. And we know from research that doing any these activities in, on or near water is incredibly beneficial for psychological well-being. It's something I also write about in my book. It speaks about things like, for example, blue mind. So it's the calming effect that we feel in our bodies. But what's actually happening when we're by water, even simply looking at it, it's altering, for example, our brain waves, putting us in a calmer state. So we're just better able to heal when we're by water or even in it. And it's an antidote to that kind of red mind stress response state that we're in increasingly too much of the time.
Well, Iski, thank you very much indeed. And we'll put more details about World Ocean Day and your paper on our website, which is rte.ie/Mooney. For the moment, Iski, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much. Míle maith agat.
Míle maith agat. Aina, do you know anything about the algal blooms? Niall, do you know anything about them? You see on the news yesterday, Turkey was plagued by the largest outbreak of sea snot, they're calling it, on record, as mucus hit the Sea of Marmara coastline.
I did. It doesn't sound very pleasant at all. I certainly would not like to swim through that. And I tell you, fish wouldn't like to swim through that either. There can be a big problem in oceans. It seems to have been caused by an excess of what they're calling nutrients in the water. For nutrients, read sewage. And this promotes this algal bloom. And what that does is that deoxygenates the water, it's sliming up the coast, and it could poison shellfish down to a depth of even 100 metres. So it's really bad.
Aina?
Hello, yes, indeed. I mean, it's grey sludge that forms when the algae are overloaded with the nutrients. So you have algae in the water all the time. I mean, this is what you have. It's part of the food chain. So if there are plants, I mean, they grow from the nutrients in the water. I mean, we get these algal blooms even in Ireland when there's too much nitrates in the water. So in Turkey, they had the extra heat because it's much warmer there. So things grow faster in the heat. Extra nutrients, probably, as Niall says, from sewage and pollution. ocean, and the, as a consequence, then all of the oxygen is taken up. Because, you know, you think about algae, okay, they're plants, they give off oxygen, but not when the sun isn't shining, and at night time they don't. They take in oxygen, they respire, and they cause the water to become deoxygenated. They break down, there are layers of snots up on the top of the ocean. They're stopping the light coming in then for other things down further, and they stop the fish having anything to eat and any oxygen to breathe through their gills. So it's a really bad scene, and again caused by too much pollution in the water itself. So that's something that really ought to be, you know, coped with, because you can actually get nitrates and phosphates out of pollution, out of sewage, by tertiary treatment. We have primary treatment, secondary treatment and tertiary treatment. And tertiary treatment, we have the technology for it. Some sewage systems are put through all three of them and they don't put in nitrates and phosphates. So it's not as if the technology isn't there to do it. It's again, like Whitney was saying, we have to have the knowledge of it, we have to have the will to do it, and then we have to demand that this cleanness is put in place for us, even if it costs us more in our taxes. We have to see that it's worth doing. So sea snot in Turkey does not seem like a good thing. A staycation is definitely what I'm doing this year. Ain't going to Turkey to swim through the snots.
I don't blame you. Going back to what Isi was saying about the blue prescriptions, let's say hello now to Dr. Knut Moe, who's a South Dublin GP. Hello, Knut. Have you ever prescribed that people should take a kind of walk along the seaside or go out on a boat or go for a swim or anything like that? Have you written a blue prescription, is what I'm asking you?
Absolutely, Derek. I think it's an increasingly common thing for GPs and healthcare professionals to prescribe exercise and getting out and about, particularly in these strange times that we've been having, where people are working from home and often cooped up indoors. So there's clear benefits for getting out, clearing the head, as mental health problems are much more of an issue. Getting out, there's a calming element to do with the water, whether it's the wind, the sea air, watching the world go by. It's something we all need to do a little bit more of, and perhaps haven't had the chance to or have to be reminded to of late. So something we do as GPs quite a lot now is prescribe exercise as outdoors or fresh air, specifically blue prescriptions. It's something that's becoming a bit more common now, but it's something that needs to be done more to help with mental health, for sure.
But you actually write it on a piece of paper?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes you need that. I mean, if you find somebody who's coming in who maybe is, I think in a GP's office, part of what we say, about 50% of what we say doesn't get retained. So sometimes it's important to actually write down these things. It's not something that needs to be, you can say, just go out and make sure you walk for 30 minutes a day along the sea. It's great to clear the air. It's good for the lungs. You know, people would be extolling the virtues of sea air for years from a physical health point of view. But the mental health side of things, yeah, we would write it down, and people maybe who need a little reminder and to be told it's okay to do this. You know, to take that time for yourself in an otherwise maybe hectic lifestyle, to find those moments of calm down by the sea or down by the water. We were out on a canal boat only this morning on the Royal Canal with friends of ours, and it's just a reminder to slow down. The kids loved it, and seeing the nature that was there and you know, the lily pads and everything, it was absolutely just the calm. It was just the perfect tonic on a day like today.
So you would say, yes, you're all for it.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Knut, thank you very much indeed. I'm just thinking, you know, the way you can never read a doctor's prescription. How would you understand what the guy was meaning at all?
Send your wildlife recordings, questions and observations on WhatsApp to 087 708 7031.